At our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. Currently overcast skies and 41 degrees. I am Chad Holmes and welcome to another edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up in about 7.5 minutes at 2:15, we'll be joined in studio by Sean Reich, the Executive Director of the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater. Into the month of April, plenty of great entertainment coming to the Grand, and we'll talk about it with Sean Reich coming up in just a few moments. Also, plenty of talk today about election night. We'll talk about some of the local elections, including the school board races, a little bit later on in this hour. We'll delve deeper into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race and other statewide races in the next hour as well. But last night, and it was great to be part of the civic media election night coverage, but listening to State Supreme Court candidate Dan Kelly in his non-concession speech last night got me back way back. In fact, way back until November of 1962. I love me some history. In fact, I've mentioned on the program in the past, when I go on vacation, sometimes I get out west, and I got some friends who live on the West Coast. In fact, one of my best friends from way back, junior high, high school, college, and ever since, lives in Orange County, California, right near the Richard Nixon Presidential Library. And I've paid a visit to the Nixon Library numerous times over the years. But watching Dan Kelly got me back to thinking about Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon, when he lost the California gubernatorial race in 1962, he had one of the famous press conferences to end the campaign. And I think Dan Kelly's going to rank up there with Nixon. But this is what Richard Nixon said in the final moments of what he thought might be his final campaign press conference of his political career.
For 16 years, ever since the Hiss case, you've had a lot of fun. You've had an opportunity to attack me, and I think I've given as good as I've taken. I leave you gentlemen now, and you will now write it, you will interpret it, that's your right. But as I leave you, I want you to know, just think how much you're going to be missing. You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore. Well, Nixon, in fact, wasn't done. He made one of his political comebacks, in fact, became president of the United States, and then got kicked around again a little bit later as he got run out of office. Because of his actions, by the way. But just watching and being here in the studio last night while we were airing Dan Kelly's speech, it was almost like jaw-dropping. It was amazing that we've got to this point. And the point I'm going to make, and if you want to join us, you can call 715-298-1248, 715-298-1248 with your thoughts on any of the election news that came out last night. But Dan Kelly made a statement that was more than what he said. It's a statement of what conservatives think right now in this country. Conservatives are under the impression right now that only they deserve to be in charge, that they only are the ones that should be making the decisions on where this country goes. They're the ones where their actions, they're okay, but if you do the very same thing, then it's horrible. you look at, you know, the so-called Family Values Party. We saw it yesterday when Donald Trump's indictment was released. This man, his whole life has been one basic orgy of money, women, and breaking the law. And yet they feel like, hey, they can tell trans people what they can do, what they're supposed to be doing. That they can, you know, ban shows that they feel are terrible for the children. Dan Kelly got his hat handed to him for the second time in 3 years by double digits in a 50-50 state. And yet he is so angry that he is not able to make the decisions on how you live your life. And that's how it is nowadays. Republicans can lose by double digits and they refuse to say, I concede, the voters have made their choice and we're going to move on. Nope. You get a display like we saw last night. I'm going to play part of what Kelly had to say, part of what Janet Protasiewicz had to say in the next hour, just to compare. Because right now we live in an era where conservatives feel like they are gifted by God, in their words, basically, to be able to run everything. And we're going to see how far they're going to go. We've heard some discussion about possible impeachments because they now have 2/3 majorities in the state Senate. I mean, it's crazy right now. It is crazy in terms of what the Republicans and the conservatives feel like they're obligated to be able to do, that we should be thankful that they're able to do that. All right. We're going to talk plenty more about that coming up, but we're going to take a quick timeout and then come back and talk a little bit about what's going on here in central Wisconsin. Again, every other Wednesday at 2:15, get a chance to talk to Sean Wright, and he's coming up next from the Grand here on Bull Falls Radio. On Monday, it's high school baseball from the Merrillwood Conference South Division as the Marathon Red Raiders take on the Newman Catholic Cardinals. You can hear the game live online only at BullFallsRadio.com and Sports Stream 2, starting with pregame show at 4:30 and the first pitch at 4:45. The game will also air on tape delay on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, starting at 7 p.m. Again, Marathon taking on Newman Catholic in high school baseball. Live online only Monday, starting with pregame show at 4:30 and the first pitch at 4:45 on BullFallsRadio.com and Sports Stream 2. With the game airing on tape delay on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, starting at 7 p.m. Your home for Marathon and Newman Catholic High School sports is Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, it's every other Wednesday at 2:15. I'm very happy to welcome back to the program the Executive Director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater here in Wausau, Sean Wright. And Sean, first of all, as I said right before you came on the air, I'm very happy you didn't turn around and head right out of the parking lot because my car is not out there. It's in the shop right now, and it's like it looked like nobody was around here. So I'm very happy you actually came in through the door.
I just figured you had a driver these days and, you know, multimedia personality that you just summon the car when it's time to go on to the next part of your storied career.
I tell you, I hope the boss is listening because that'll be part of the next contract negotiation.
Absolutely, see?
But Sean, it's great to have you back. It's now into the month of April. And again, I was thinking actually because the weather continues to be a little iffy. I would call it around here in central Wisconsin. I think probably some of the folks that are almost happy about it is the folks at the Grand because it's actually great indoor theater weather.
Yes, it has been great theater weather. You know, I will say with the winter we've had with hitting some of our school shows, we last week were fully in the expecting to wake up to 6 inches of snow on Friday when we had Yamato, the Japanese drummers, but there was no snow. All 1,180 kids were able to attend. And so, yeah, it's but it is indoor weather, that's for sure.
You know those shows where it is for the kids, and you do a lot of those kind of shows where you get more than 1,000 kids into the Grand Theater in those seats? There is just a different sound, isn't there?
Oh, yes, there is. There absolutely is. That moment when the artists come out on stage or any time, you know, I always joke that, you know, when you come to an evening show, and we've all, and not just here, you know, we've all been to it. The artist goes on stage and is like, everybody clap your hands. And, you know, people do. And then they kind of get like the, okay, enough of that. The school shows, when they do this, literally the artist a lot of time has to say, okay, now stop. Like, okay, no, you're no longer providing the beat, because kids are like, oh, you told me to clap, you haven't told me to stop. I'm gonna keep going.
And also when they see something they like, the sound. That
oh,
comes
the sound,
the kids,
yeah,
you know,
100%.
It's so much
yeah.
fun, actually.
Yeah, it is. And so a show like the Drummers of Japan. Those are incredible artists. And yeah, they're even at the evening show, there were plenty of oohs and ahs and sounds. So you can imagine what the school show was like.
Absolutely. So things have been going well, I guess. No problems. Knock on wood.
We had a great week last week with two sold out shows, three counting the school show with you know, Simon and Garfunkel Story, really amazing show, and then Yamato on Friday. And so those are good weeks when you can sell out a couple of shows.
What about that Simon and Garfunkel Story? Was there one part that was the best part? Because we were talking about it the last time you were in here, because it was such an interesting story. And I mean the combination of telling the story with the music and all that. What was the best part of that show?
I think for me, one of the more fascinating parts was, you know, their sort of exploration of, you know, Simon and Garfunkel in the early 70s, when their sound became, you know, a little psychedelic, a little, you know, drum heavy, a little these things. And you just sort of, you know, you forget about that phase.
Yes.
You think about the early phase, and you, of course, remember the Bridge Over Troubled Water phase.
Sound of Silence.
It's that Scarborough Fair area where you sort of go. And the great thing about this show is it really kind of goes deep into some of these tracks and the times and what their influences were. And you're like, oh, of course it makes sense. It was, you know, the early 1970s, a really traumatic time in our country's history. Of course the music was influenced by it. But you don't easily think of Simon and Garfunkel of that era. So that, for me, I think, was my favorite thing, just to, you know, get a little bit deeper understanding of their music.
Real quickly, on that same line, I think around artistic people, I think when folks go to shows, you know, especially some of the classic shows, you remember the main parts, the things that you're coming to see. Artistic people, they hate to be put into a box, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they always want to be growing and doing things differently.
100%. And, you know, that's the, you know, the thing that I love about both the shows last week is, you know, when you have a show that's technically a tribute show, but has talented musicians, has the multimedia aspect, and really, you know, tells you the story. And at no point, even though they're dressing in the costumes, at no point do they say, you know, and Paul over here. Like, they're very clearly sharing the story of, you know, and then Paul was not interested in doing this. And, and so obviously it's an artistic show and not just musical. And then the, you know, Yamato, the drummers, they are so talented that company could just tour every year if they wanted to and tour the same show every year. But their artistic director is pretty much, you know, come to the conclusion that they want to tour each show once. And so they do a year in North America, and then they do a year in other parts of the world, including Australia and, of course, in the Far East. And then they mount another show. And so, you know, a lot of people said to us following that show, oh, have them back next year. We can't. They will not come back to North America until they have a new show.
Right.
And it's really impressive that, you know, that is a company and an organization and has artistic direction, because it would be real easy to do the Riverdance 25th anniversary tour, now in its eighth year, which is absolutely going on. You joke about it, but I mean, I was at a meeting in New York where the agents for William Morris were saying, you know, oh, and Riverdance is going to be back on the road next year with their 30th anniversary tour. And you're going, but the 25th, that it's still going on. That shouldn't happen. But
you love that confidence as well, because these people know. I mean, that's the confidence. You could squeeze that rock and just keep trying to get every bit out of it. That's what makes it special. That's what makes these performers special. It
absolutely
really does. Again, we're talking to Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater and Performing Arts Foundation here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Well, April looks like it'll be another busy month. And sometimes you think, man, we're getting towards spring. No, yeah, I mean, I was looking at your schedule. I was looking on your Facebook page as well. Boy, you got a lot coming up, especially, you know, here in April.
Yeah, we do. You know, starting with tomorrow night, Chapel Heart, of course, the two sisters and their cousin who made a name for themselves on America's Got Talent. They were one of the finalists. Remember their take on Dolly Parton's Jolene, where they basically reinvented the song. So they are on their first ever headlining tour. They just played the CMTs the other night with the guys from ZZ Top, of all things. And so they'll be at the Grand tomorrow night, along with Roosevelt and Lucas Hodge. So it's just a really cool evening, one of those opportunities to see an artist who they're going to be playing much bigger spaces than the Grand. And so it'll be really nice for people to get the opportunity to see them at the Grand. And then, we just keep rolling. Next week, our Lift Every Voice series, Gina Chavez, who's a fantastic Latin artist, has been a Latin Grammy winner, and she brings her show to the Grand. And that series is a free series, trying to bring diverse voices to our community. And so, I mean, it's a free show to see a Grammy-winning artist. That's you can't do much better than that.
And we talk about this, and I tell people all the time, when you get these opportunities as well to explore being at the Grand as well. Number one, you're getting incredible talent. I mean, the talent level within, whether it's music or theater or other performance arts, is amazing. It really is. And people are just looking for those opportunities. And I know that you look exceptionally hard for these great artists, but then also just to experience the Grand.
Absolutely.
I think for folks here in Central Wisconsin that haven't had that chance, boy, what a great opportunity.
Yeah, and the whole point of the series is to make sure that there aren't barriers for attending. You know, it sort of serves two purposes. One is to diversify the voices seen and heard on our stage so that they better reflect our community as a whole. But the other aspect is to eliminate that barrier of price that does exist and is a reality. And so for some people, this is an opportunity for them to our doors are open, come see a great show. It's costing you exactly nothing. And, and see a really talented artist.
In a week from Friday, I know that this area loves its classic rock.
And
you got a special tribute show featuring a Rush tribute show.
Yeah. The Rush Tribute Project, really talented group based out of Milwaukee, actually, and just super talented musicians. And what I like about these guys is they are really trying to capture the spirit of the music. This is, you see some tribute bands and it's kind of like, I got hired to be Mick Jagger, now I'm Mick Jagger, in a Stones band. These are guys who have real jobs to some extent, but are huge Rush fans, and started playing together, and then went, hey, wait a minute, if we added this and we did this, and wait a minute, I have a collection of the guitar that Geddy Lee, and if we add this and multimedia, and so the idea being that if you're a huge Rush fan or if you've just heard Rush on the radio, you're going to really like the show.
How are the tickets coming for these upcoming shows?
Folks
still can get tickets.
Yeah, you can still get tickets to all three of those shows. We still have tickets left. As we get later in the month, tickets are getting a little low for Lori Morgan, of course, very low for Cheap Trick. Only a handful of tickets left for that. And as well as May 1st, Potted Potter, the Harry Potter parody.
I saw that
show.
70 minutes of putting it all together.
All the Harry Potter books, two guys, 70 minutes. And we only have, I think about 60 tickets left for that one. So definitely some shows with some ticket availability and some shows that are moving fast, and that's just kind of the way it is.
Art Garfunkel still coming?
Art Garfunkel still coming as of this moment.
Very good.
We'll see.
And again, for folks who want to get those tickets, the best way to do it?
Yeah, is to jump online at grandtheater.org.
And also pay a visit. You know, people work at the Grand, they love to see smiling faces. They'll give a smiling face back.
Call your driver and get them to deliver you to the Grand.
Absolutely. Well, Sean, again, it's great to talk to you. Next time, I think it'll be about 75 degrees, so I think it'll be good. But keep enjoying these shows, and thanks again for coming and sharing.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Sean Wright from the Grand Theater, again, the executive director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater. We got to take a quick time out. We're going to get a news update from CBS, find out what's going on around the country and around the world. Plus, we'll get a Civic Media news update as well. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand that's pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, a dead end world, the East End boys and West End girls. In a West End town, a dead end world, the East End boys and West End girls.
With you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Overcast skies, 41 degrees. Expect mostly cloudy skies for the rest of this afternoon. Temperature will be maintaining in the lower 40s. And again, we'll have a chance for some chilly weather, maybe even a few snow flurries as we get later into the week. But by the time we get towards the weekend, towards the end of the weekend especially, temperatures will get into the low 60s on Sunday, mid to upper 60s on Monday, even into the 70s on Tuesday. So we'll talk a lot about the weather with our meteorologist, Ray Miller from weatherology.com, coming up just after the top of the hour at 3:06. But the good news is I'll be able to get out there and start to do some baseball and softball broadcast with Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Marathon as the spring sports season will begin to heat up here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Well, yesterday it was election day, and there was a lot to talk about. We're going to talk more in terms of what happened with the state Supreme Court race and the general statewide races a little bit more in the next hour. But here I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the local races because it was interesting to see some of these results. And if you have thoughts on election night, especially the local races, join us, 715-298-1248. Again, that's 715-298-1248. 298-1248, and you can give us your thoughts on what we saw last night, election-wise, here in central Wisconsin. Of course, there's been a lot of, I would say, controversy and a lot of talk with the Wausau School Board and the Wausau School District with their consolidation plan. We've talked a lot about it here on this program. And last night, there were five people on the ballot for three seats. And in the end, it was Jennifer Paoli, a new candidate, getting the most votes at 8,051. Also earning election were the second and third place results. Current vice president, incumbent Lance Trollope, had the second most votes, 7,681. And Corey Sillars, who came onto the board back on September the 6th of last year, and was an incumbent, even though it was a rather short amount of time on the board. Incumbent Corey Sillars was third and also earns a spot again on the board with 7,612 votes. The two candidates who did not
earned spots on the board. Jillian Bettino had 6,673 votes, and Fred Thiele finished with 6,341 votes. And number one, feel for both Jillian Bettino and Fred Thiele. We've had both of them on the program, both passionate about the Wausau School District and what they would like to see the future look like with the district. But what do you think the results mean? Do you think that this changes anything in terms of what the future has in store in the Wausau School District? 715-298-1248. It appears, at least to me, that I think we're not going to see major change. I think the returning of Trollope and Stillers, obviously, along with Jennifer Paoli, I think continues maybe a more of a rightward tilt of the board. But this election, I think, was a little bit different than the previous elections. Did not have, I think, as much vitriol within this election. Again, I'm sure within certain areas there were. But in the end, we have a board that still has the challenges that will be put forward on the board. It was an election that did, I would say, the two, I think, candidates that were aligned together towards a more liberal tilt, they did not win, and they did not win by quite large margins. I think you have to take a step back for folks on the left to see why did this happen? Why did the Wausau School District decide not to go in the direction that Jillian Bettino and Fred Thiele pushed forward? I think there has to be a little bit of evaluation because, again, I was a little surprised, to be honest with you, with some of the vote totals. I thought that both Bettino and Thiele had put out very energetic campaigns, and I thought with the talk about the petition. After the board voted 7-2 a couple of months back to begin the process, approve the process of consolidation of the high schools into one high school, and of course, the changes at the middle, junior high level, and the elementary school levels as well, we saw a petition go out that got quite a few names on it. But that energy did not translate to votes for the two candidates, I think, that were most aligned with the folks that were pushing forward that petition. So, again, it's an interesting result. It's an interesting, I think, flag post. It's a post right now where we stand here in early April of 2023. I do think that the consolidation and the implementation will continue. It'll be interesting to see if the idea of a non-binding referendum, which was not approved on a 5-4 vote a few weeks back, is brought back at some point. There is still time, of course, because the non-binding referendum would not be on a ballot until next April. But at the same time, I do wonder whether or not at this point, with a vote approving the consolidation plans, that putting another non-binding vote on continues this idea of constant campaigning, constant elections. And at a certain point, we do have a representative form of government. We vote for folks, in this case, to serve on the school board and make the decisions that they feel are best. They get the information. They get the most information of anybody. And I'm not sure that putting out a non-binding referendum would be the way to bring the community together. And I think that's one of the big question marks in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. The transition is never easy. The folks that are involved, especially the students within transitions, have the hardest go of it. So again, hopefully, no matter whether or not you voted for the folks that got elected or did not vote for the people that got elected, voted for those who did not get enough to advance to the school board, that we all try to come together in a sense to make sure that any changes are done in a way that is best for the community. And obviously, the board that was previously on, which involves everybody except Jennifer Paoli, Lee Webster, who is retiring from the board, they 4-7-2 that based on the information that they got, that this is the best way forward. So again, it's going to be a story that we continue to keep an eye on. But the three winners last night, again, Jennifer Paoli, Lance Trollope, Corey Sillars, congratulations to them. And also congratulations to Jillian Bettino and Fred Thiele, because as I've talked about with candidates before, the system does not work unless people take the risk of going into the arena, as Theodore Roosevelt said. It's those that go into the arena. It's not easy. People, I mean, especially in this era where there is so much vitriol within campaigns, and anybody that does take the risk of going into the ring and putting out a vision and putting themselves on the ballot in front of voters, I think deserves the greatest of respect. So all five that did run for the Wausau School Board deserve that. D.C. Everstaria School Board, there were four on the ballot. Two were winners, and the two winners were the two incumbents, Yi Leng Zhang, who got 4,558 votes, and Carrie Norbaum with 3,941 votes, the two that did not earn spots on the D.C. Everstaria School Board, James Yidis, who got 3,706 votes, and Darren Juno, who had 3,019 votes. So again, it's interesting that the two incumbents at the D.C. Everest board, and also the two incumbents on the Wausau board, they all were victorious. I think there is an advantage of incumbency, no matter what level you're running for, but it does show that, at least I think in those two races, that incumbency shows that, to a certain extent, that the members of this district, whether Wausau or D.C. Everest, feel like their board members are doing the job that they wanted them to do. Mosinee School District had two open seats and four candidates. Megan Stankowski and Calandra Zebro were the two victorious candidates. Stankowski with 2,047 votes, Zebro with 1,840 votes. The two that came up short in Mosinee, Willie Lutke with 1,596 votes, and Joseph A. Knadler, who received 1,469 votes. Also, interesting race in the village of Kronenwetter. There's been a lot of upheaval in Kronenwetter, but in the end, the president, Chris Voll, wins another term as he got 1,298 votes. Kenneth Charneski received just over 1,000 votes, 1,050 votes. But again, after a lot of upheaval in Kronenwetter, Chris Voll is still the village president, and it'll be interesting to watch to see whether or not things start to calm down. Been a lot of turnover within the village of Kronenwetter in recent years. Also, a village of Kronenwetter trustees race, three seats, five candidates. Kelly Coyle, Christopher Eden, and Alexander Vedvik were victorious. Coyle with 1,364 votes, Christopher Eden 1,166 votes, Alexander Vedvik 1,029 votes. Guy Friedel and Kim Tapper came up short in that election. We also have a race where every election, there's always at least one, and I think that we can say, the folks that say, your vote doesn't count, I couldn't get over and vote, my vote doesn't mean anything anyways. I mean, one vote, come on. Well, we had a village of Marathon city president race that was very, 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 very tight. Marathon city village president, Kurt Handrick Jr. and David Bellinger, and it came down to three votes. Kurt Handrick Jr. had 258 votes. David Bellinger, 255 votes. Three votes. That's why folks knock on doors. That's why they make phone calls. That's why they put flyers out. Because you don't get a handful of votes, the result's different. But in the end, Kurt Handrick Jr., 258. David Bellinger, 255. I don't know whether or not they would have a recount or anything like that, but very narrow victory for Hendrick. Also, three seats on the Marathon City Village Trustee ballot, four candidates, three winners, Mark Ahrens, Connie Ruplinger, and Kevin Sorensen. Mickey Krautkramer came up short in that race. Also, another narrow race for the city of Schofield alderperson, ward number one, Kevin Fable defeats the incumbent Kristen Conway, 68 votes to 61 votes. Feel for Kristen. She had put her hat in the ring running last November for the state assembly. And it was a difficult race. And I imagine, again, when you put yourself out there, put yourself in a very difficult position. And Kristen Conway comes up just short against Kevin Fable, 68-61 in the city of Schofield, alderperson Ward 1 race. Also, again, quickly about a couple of referenda. Athens, who had failed a referenda, and there's been some talk about some consolidation within Athens, actually consolidating with another district, and they were putting out some warning signs. And they had another referendum last night, and the school district of Athens authorized to exceed the revenue limit by $1.2 million per year from the 2024-2025 school year through the 2026-2027 school year for non-recurring purposes. Yes, 1,231 votes, no 422. So an overwhelming yes vote in a district that had not been guaranteed for yes votes. So apparently the thought that perhaps some consolidation within Athens might occur did get the voters out to approve that exceeding the revenue limit for a couple of school years. We're going to take a quick timeout, come back, have more. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip.
Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Time is 2:51. I'm going to take a break from the politics for just a few minutes, talk a little sports, because it's been fun watching both the Bucks and the Brewers. Milwaukee Brewers looking for a fifth consecutive win. In fact, they came out so slowly. They got shut out on opening day at Wrigley Field. Then in the second game, did not score until the eighth inning. It was felt like they were never going to score. And then all of a sudden, they beat the Cubs Saturday. They beat the Cubs Sunday. They beat the Mets 10-0 on American Family opening day on Monday. And then last night, 9-0. I mean, the Mets are spending money like a political campaign. By far, they are spending more money on their teams than anybody else. And the Brewers came out and just dominated the first 2 days, winning 10-0 and 9-0. And now this afternoon, the Brewers looking to complete a three-game series sweep of the Mets. And they're in the bottom of the seventh inning. Mets and the Brewers tied up at 6 apiece. If the Brewers can win this one, that would be an incredible start to the season. First of all, winning 2 of 3 at Wrigley, not easy. Cubs are going to be a better team this year. And then to knock off the team that many folks expect to be at the very least in the playoffs, but many feeling like the Mets are built to become a team that represents the National League in the World Series. The Brewers, I think, again, it's such a long season, baseball. You watch on Thursday of last week on opening day and feel like, holy cow, this team can't hit. And now you watch this week, holy cow, nobody can stop them, and they got great pitching. It's going to be a long ebb and flow season for the Brewers, but I think the bottom line is they're going to be right there. They're going to be right there throughout the course of the summer into the fall and have a good opportunity, I think, to make the postseason playoffs. But again, the Brewers looking to make it 5 wins in a row, complete that series sweep, 6-6 against the Mets right now down in Milwaukee at American Family Field. And the Bucks last night, Bucks are getting closer to clinching that number one seed in the East. We are into the final few days of the NBA season. And the Bucks able to knock off the Washington Wizards last night by a score of 140-128. Bucks play so many high-scoring games. Bucks are now 57-22. The Bucks now are one win away, or one Celtics loss away, from clinching the league's best record and home court advantage through the NBA Finals. So not only number one in the East, but number one in the NBA. The Bucks in any Game 7 in the postseason would have a home court advantage with one more win or one more Chicago, one more Boston loss, and three games left in the regular season for Milwaukee. But last night, again, I've said this before, it is so much fun watching Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis. The man is at the peak of his powers right now. There's a big controversy right now on who should get the MVP. I think the sense is that it may not be Giannis this season. But he had his 35th career triple-double last night. 28 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, as the Bucks defeated the Celtics, defeated the Wizards 140-128. But he makes it look so easy. That's just another day at the office. In fact, when you score 28 points, if you're Giannis, that's below your season average. But it's going to be such a fun playoff. Even if they're number one seeded, it's going to be scary, because watching them play Boston last Thursday, where the Celtics just dominated, won by 40 points, scares you. Then they beat the 76ers on Saturday. Looked like, again, a Bucks team that could beat anybody. The thing about it is, when you look at Milwaukee, Boston, and Philly, they're all capable of making the NBA Finals. And even Cleveland. Cleveland's got a lot of talent, may not have the experience that these other three teams have, but it's going to be a wild, wild race in the NBA's Eastern Conference playoffs. Those are three great teams. It reminds me of when I was a kid. When I was a kid, the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics were all fantastic. In fact, one year, the Bucks won 60 games in the regular season, and they were behind both Philadelphia and Boston. That was in the days of Don Nelson, of Sidney Moncrief, of Marcus Johnson, later Terry Cummings, where Milwaukee had these great teams, Bob Lanier. But the Celtics had Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish. The Sixers had Moses Malone and Dr. J. I mean, it was the battle of the Titans every round in the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs. A couple of years, the Bucks beat the Celtics. A couple of years, they beat the Sixers. But then they would lose to the other team. They'd beat the Celtics and lose to the Sixers. They'd beat the Sixers and lose to the Celtics. This really does go back to the early 1980s with some of the great teams in Boston, Philly, and Milwaukee. We're seeing it again here heading into the 2023 playoffs. So, again, lots to look forward to, I think, with both the Brewers and the Bucks coming up in the next few weeks and next few months. And also, again, looking forward to getting some high school action tomorrow. In fact, looks like I'm going to be heading off and doing some Wausau West baseball. Wausau West will finally be able to open their season on the schedule. Knock on wood, taking on La Crosse Logan. It'll be a doubleheader. The first game you'll be able to hear only on BullFallsRadio.com. Sports Stream 2 at 4 o'clock. So again, 4 o'clock, Sports Stream 2, Wausau West baseball against La Crosse Logan. But the second game of the doubleheader will be live here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO at approximately 6 p.m. So again, for Wausau West baseball tomorrow against La Crosse Logan, 4 p.m., BullFallsRadio.com, Sports Stream 2. Again, on the homepage, you have to go down below the listing of the shows that are currently on the air. It'll say Sports Stream 2, Sports Stream 3. Click on Sports Stream 2. A box will open up, then hit play, and you'll be able to hear that game tomorrow live on BullFallsRadio.com. And then after the first game is done, we'll make you come over here to Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 online. Alexa, you know the drill, for game two of that Twin Bill. So looking forward to that. I am more than ready. I bounce around the walls if I don't get some high school sports after a while. Haven't had any high school sports here for a few weeks, and hopefully we'll get into a roll with Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Marathon High School baseball and softball over the next couple of weeks and a couple of months, in fact, as the spring sports season gets into full gear. Coming up, CBS News at the top of the hour. We'll get all the headlines from around the country and around the world. At 3:06, we'll talk about the weather. It's going to warm up. Not right away, but it's going to warm up, and warm up big time. We'll get the details from Ray Miller from weatherology.com coming up at 3:06. And then we're going to talk a lot about that state Supreme Court race and bigger picture. I got some thoughts, bigger picture on it as we go into hour number two of the program. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.